Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, if His grace doesn't amaze you, you need to get out the mirror and look in the book here, and you'll see who you really are, and then His grace and His love will absolutely blow your mind. I mean, it's amazing, absolutely amazing that God would love us, that He would send His Son to die for us, and then he blesses us, and He just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And as they were singing, I was going back in time to when I was in Bible college, and we'll not talk about how long a time ago that was, but I remember sitting in the service there in Pensacola, and Dr. Tom Williams spoke, and I heard him for the first time. And I remember sitting there thinking, if I could just shake his hand, if I could just somehow, some way shake that man's hand. I remember just being in awe at the preaching and what God was doing in his life. And then I became pastor, started a church in Bern, Indiana. I'm going to say it was 25, 26 years ago. And I was pastoring in Bern, Indiana, and Pastor Mike Richter called me down in Winchester, Indiana, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I've got Tom Williams scheduled for a revival here," and he said, "There's just no way I can have him come, and we can't afford it. Our church they had had some financial problems and all of that," and he said, "Would you like to have him?" And immediately I was terrified. I thought, Tom Williams coming and preaching in a revival at our church. And that, unfortunate for him, but very fortunate for me, began a relationship and a friendship that has been so precious to my wife and I, to our family, as the Williamses came. And we had a great revival service, and we just became very close friends. And we really, just amazing to me. And it's just because of the goodness of God. And I love it when he comes and preaches. We had a great service this morning. I expect we'll have a great service tonight. Listen carefully. Let God speak to your heart. Dr. Williams, you come.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you. Thank you so much. Joy to be here this evening. Joy for Ms. Williams and I to once again be here in Adrian and be with you folks. You've been so faithful over the years to pray for us and help our ministry. And we're very, very thankful. You're a part of our radio ministry that reaches around the world, and we're glad for your help in that. You're part of the films and books and CDs and things that are literally around the world, and thank you for being a part of that. We had an interesting call from a guy in the South Pole. He's a German scientist, and he said, "I listen to your broadcast every day through 19 meters of ice." The Word of God cuts right through the ice gets in there, and we praise the Lord for it. Thank you, young people, for giving up your spring break and serving the Lord. That's a great blessing to people's hearts. Thank God for West Coast and Dr. Chappell. Pray for Brother Chappell. His and his family have just been through just the ringer backwards with their son Larry and the cancer. And I thank God that at least the last word I had, that Brother Larry's cancer-free now. Pray that he'll stay that way, would you please? And then Dr. Chappell himself not feeling real good right now. He's talking to his secretary this week. So if you just pray for him, he carries a tremendous, tremendous load. Like I was telling you this morning, that years ago, young preachers used to say to me, "Boy, Dr. Williams, I wish I could pastor First Baptist." And I said, "You're nuts." Somebody might say, "I wish I could pastor at West Coast." About the second day, you'd say, "I wish I wasn't pastoring West Coast." All the headaches and all of the bills and everything that goes on. And then pray for Brother Schmidt. He has cancer. And he's just like the right arm of Brother Chappell. How's he doing with his cancer? So yeah, he's in his chemo, isn't he, right now? Just pray for him, would you please? God would sustain them and strengthen them, and get everything all set for the big conference, 25th year, there in this coming July. I expect to be there, and I hope that you'll Just pray for these young people flying home tomorrow. That may be their greatest service when somebody took Christ on the airplane there. Just stand up and start singing. Hey, man, that'll get their attention. I've done that before, and I can't even sing. I have a degree in music, but I got it at Sing Sing. I never could. I was behind a few bars and never found the right key. I was singing in one church, and a fellow said, "Brother Williams, if you'll sing by the window, we'll help you out." But I don't get discouraged. I just keep singing anyway. Look, stop at the table tonight. You know how I admonished you this morning. Get some decent music in your home. Don't play church with God on Sunday and then turn the devil on Monday. So stop by the table tonight. How many CDs you have left, brother?
Several.
Huh? Several? What is several?
A lot.
100? You have 100? 200? 300? About 150. Okay. Well, I tell you, give me 150 people that need a CD, okay? Where'd our faith go? You stop by the table tonight. You need it, whether you get it or not. But I hope you'll stop by the table. Encourage these young people's hearts. They've given up their spring break. Let's give up something for them tonight and encourage them. And I know there's a lot of expense going on out there at the college and everything else. So we ought to bear one another's burdens. Amen?
Amen,
amen, brother. Until it comes to my wallet. start talking about money, men scoot down on their left backside right here. Yeah. Some people won't even wear rubber heels, afraid they'll give. That's some of my best stuff. If you're not going to laugh, I'm going to quit and preach, okay? All right. Well, do we have some deaf with us tonight? Yeah? Nobody? No, somebody is there. Yeah. Do you know how deaf people clear their throat? Like that. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Okay. Deaf people wear boxing gloves to bed so they won't talk in their sleep. Crowd dead tonight. So your favorite team must have lost this afternoon. Uh-oh. All right, good. Well, Ms. Williams and I, as I said, glad to be here. Pray for us. We'll go to pastor school tomorrow. I'll be speaking there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If you'd pray for that time, I really would appreciate it, just ask God to bless. As I said this morning, if we don't pray, we don't have a hope. We don't have a hope. And I hope that you'll get a hold to that and just really pray and pray and pray. And sure enjoyed the men's prayer meeting tonight. It was a blessed time of hearing praises and taking prayer requests and being together with the men. I certainly enjoyed it. I trust that God will lead you to pray in the days ahead. And while you're praying, please pray for the Tom Williams Ministries, that God would use it. Pray for our staff back in Montana. And then for us as we continue to travel. We're on a 10,000-mile tour. So you pray for that if you would. Please take your Bibles tonight, and we'll turn there in just a moment. Our Father, thank you this evening for Brother Rogers. Thank you for Ms. Rogers. Thank you, Father, for the Brother David. Thank you for the people here in the church. Bless them in a special way this evening. Provide every need. The men who need jobs, give them jobs. The men who need more work, give them more work. Our Father, for the sick, lift them up by thy great hand, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Continue now to lead and guide and bless and move and use in Jesus' name. Amen. I bet you young people don't know, this is the home church of Tim Christensen. He came out of this church a number of years ago. And Tim and I did a lot with him in his younger life. So you folks here, pray for Tim. He's on staff out there, and that God would use him and his family in a wonderful, wonderful way. In your Bibles tonight, please, we'll start in the book of 1 Peter. If you'll turn there this evening, please, in the Word of God, I trust that the Lord will use the message tonight in a wonderful way in your life. As you know, I speak a lot on prayer around the nation and across the world. And I get asked this question so many, many times. Dr. Williams, why do I not get my prayers answered? Why is it I pray and pray and pray and God doesn't seem to answer my prayers or does not answer my prayers? I want to take some time tonight and give you some things that hinder your prayer life. First Peter chapter 3, if you would please, in the scriptures, and if you would look at verse 7. Well, let's back up to verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. You see, it is very possible for your prayers to be hindered, that they'll never get to God. They won't go any higher than your voice can physically reach. And that's the problem in so many, many people's lives. The mistake we make is that everyone that's not saved is not a Christian. Everyone that's saved just isn't a Christian. You say, how can that be? Well, it's real easy. Salvation is free. Christian is earned. You earn the right to be called a Christian. You say, well, if everybody's not a Christian, well, they're not. If they was, my job, your preacher's job, would be a whole lot easier. If everybody just be a Christian. But everybody's not a Christian. I was speaking up in Tacoma, Washington, and a lady came up to me. I think she was sincere, Seattle, Washington, and she had tears in her eyes and down her cheeks. And she said, Dr. Williams, she said, my husband's an 18-wheel truck driver, and he's a very rough individual, and you're kind of an outdoorsman type fellow, and maybe you could win him to Christ. And I said, well, I'd be happy to try while I'm here. And she was in a ladies' meeting all day, and I borrowed a car from the preacher, got his address, drove out to the house, caught the guy going from his 18-wheel, or coming out of the house, out to his 18-wheel truck, and I walked up to him, and just kind of like I am, I said, sir, I said, your wife sent me out here, I'm preaching down where she goes to church, and she wants to see if I can get you saved. He said, well, I might talk to you. The rest of the fellows she sent out here just act like they happened by from somewhere. And I thought that was a little strange. And I said, no, I won't try to slip up on you. I'm out here to see you get saved. And he said, well, I'll tell you, preacher, before you start, just come with me, would you? And we walked down to their house, 3-bedroom house, 2-bath. We walked in. There was trash piled 3 or 4 places. There was laundry on every floor in every room in the house. There was dishes with cockroaches crawling over them. They hadn't been done in at least 3 or 4 days. The bathrooms looked like pigsties. He said to me, preacher, now, if that's Christianity, I don't need that. And I said, sir, would you excuse me for having bothered you? And I got in the car and drove back to church. And I walked up to that woman and I said, ma'am, nobody will ever win your husband to Christ till you decide to be a Christian. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the God of the Bible is clean. Now, I'm the youngest of 14 children, and we were poor. When your mama puts 2 babies in the same diaper, you know you're poor. We were poor. We were poor. But you may have to be poor. I don't know. Jesus said the poor people you'll have with you always. But you don't have to be dirty. You don't have to be dirty. And God said, look, He said, you need to dwell together and with some understanding. He said, you need to know something about your wife. Your wife ought to know something about you. You need to dwell with them according to knowledge. And you need to understand that now you're married. You're not back home. Mama's not going to pick up your clothes. Now it's your wife and she's not your mama. And don't call her mama. Even after you have some kids, don't call her mama. Sound like a sick calf on a bad morning. Mama. She's not your mama. She never will be your mama. She may be kids to your mama to your kids, but she's not your mama. Okay, call her sweetheart. Call her baby doll. Well, not baby doll. That's a stuffed idiot. Don't call her that. Call her darling, you know. And just be sweet to her and kind to her and thoughtful and considerate and tender and all of those wonderful things. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, God said if you and your wife fuss and fight, you don't get your prayers answered. You're not going to get your prayers answered. I am convinced tonight that many babies, by the time they're born, their character is already formed. Because they begin to hear and understand in their mother's womb at 6 months of conception. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible told us that. It said when Mary came in to where Elizabeth was, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, that when they heard the salutation, the baby leaped in her womb for joy. And so the baby heard, the baby understood. The baby hears your grappings, your fighting. The baby hears the junk music that you let go on in your home during the pregnancy. The baby hears so many things and all of the griping and complaining. You know, it's going to be good in the millennium. It says there won't be any complaining. Amen? Amen. And if we just quit complaining, the Bible says God hears complaining as fast as He does praying. You can read that in the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. The children of Israel complained, and God heard it. And God heard it. And so tonight, let me say to you, you can hinder your prayers by the way you and your wife don't get along. You will be blessed by the way you get along, but you will be cursed by the way you don't get along. You know, why don't you just decide, I married her, I'm going to live with her. I married him, I'm going to live with him. You know, we have four children, and I said, you know, what I'm called home. I'd say, no, you married him, just stick with it. You know, he didn't get a bargain either. Just go right on. Just go right on. Don't you pamper your kids. If you're going to give your daughter away, give her away. Give her away. Don't tie apron strings on her and hold on. You know, if you your son thinks he's old enough to get married and he goes through with it, just say, boy, that's how it is. That's just how it is. And just let him go right on. You know, sandpaper runs long enough, it'll smooth off. Amen? You can hinder your prayers. You can hinder your prayers by how you don't get along. You better think about it tonight. You better think about it tonight. And you know, for you to fuss and fight in front of your children after they're born is nuts. You know, because God is going to hold you responsible for your children. Look, God didn't ask some college to raise your children. God didn't ask some Christian school to raise your children. God, when our kids were growing up, I said, God, deliver me the day that some Christian school or some college has to tell my kid how to dress. This church or the college that your kid chooses should be nothing more than an extension of your home. And when it's not, you are breeding confusion. You need to take care of those things and think about them and do something about them. Look with me at the Psalm 66, would you please? The book of Psalms in chapter 66. And the scripture says in Psalms, if you haven't been saved long, you may think Psalms is Peaslem, but it isn't. It's Psalms. It's one of those words that starts with the wrong letter, like pneumonia does. The English language is the craziest language in the world. The word run has 32 meanings. Isn't that absurd? You get a run in your hose, run in your nose, you run downtown, somebody runs over you, hit a ball far enough, it's a home run. You know, how do you ever learn that if you're not raised in it is beyond me. So don't your kid don't have a cap? No, he's bareheaded. Well. Then he's barefooted. you know. And if you're going downtown, just bear right. Now I tell you, you go preach in these foreign countries, and you have to be so careful what you say, because when the translator gets through with it, it ain't anything like you started with. You better be real careful about that. Psalm 66, please, and look at verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear. Are you getting that? He will not hear if you regard iniquity in your heart. That's holding on to sin. That's holding on to sin. That's not being willing to confess your sin to God. That's not being willing to say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and get right. That's a thing in your heart that you're just going to cling to no matter what. It goes right along with the other hindrance to your prayer. God said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive. If you have something in your heart against a brother, bring your gift to the altar, leave it, go get right, then come off your gift, and I'll receive it, and I'll forgive you. So many things hinder our prayers. Be real careful about holding on to your little pet sins. Be real careful about holding on to some bitterness in your heart against somebody, whether it's your daddy and how you were raised, or your mother and what she did, or a brother or sister and how they mistreated you or something. You know, God said, pray for your enemies. Pray for enemies, Jesus said. And He said, love those that despise you and do good to those that despise you. Boy, we forget those, don't we? That's real easy. Easy to remember John 3:16, you know. Easy to remember shall not perish. Why don't we use the shall in Acts 1:8? Shall be a witness unto me. Why isn't that as much in us as the shall of John 3:16 is? We just kind of pick and choose our way through the Bible what blesses us. So tonight, be sure that your iniquity is not regarded in your heart. You will not get your prayers answered. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1, please. If you would, if you've not been saved long, it follows the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, you come to the end of that, you'll come to Proverbs and chapter 1. Look at verse 28. Let's read back up verse 24. Because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. God said, look, you don't hear me. I don't hear you. I don't hear you. You say, boy, I didn't know God was like that. Well, He is. He is. Oh, we think we can just shove good old God around anyway. You know, we can just dress anyway, do anyway, think anyway. Be hit and miss. Go to church this week, miss next week. Our company comes, we stay home. Could I tell you how to fix that? You got 10 folks that come over on Sunday. Invite them to go to church with you. If they don't go, say, well, we're going to clean the house. Once or twice cleaning the house, they'll go to church with you next time. I hope tonight you understand God is God. He's not some sob sister somewhere that you just dump everything on or do any old way in the world and good old God's going to forget about it. He ain't going to forget about it. He ain't going to forget about it. He said, they'll seek me, they'll cry to me, but they won't find me and I won't answer. Boy, does that sound like America right there in those five verses? I tell you, we have put away God's reproof. We've put away His counsel. We've kicked Him out of our schools, ripped Him out of our Bibles, taken Him out of our songbooks, and yet we expect God bless America. Well, it ain't going to happen. Not happening. Not going to happen. People say, Dr. Williams, can America have revival? Absolutely not. You may have revival in this church. You may have revival in this city. You might even have revival in this state. But if you're looking for a nationwide revival, you can forget it. This nation has so much innocent blood on its hands, and God never overlooked innocent blood anywhere in His Bible. And there's 50 million babies crying from the garbage dumps of this nation for vengeance from the God of heaven. And you can believe He will bring that vengeance upon our hands tonight with shed blood. God has so much to say about bloody hands in His Bible. And tonight, let me say to you, this is a coldness to God. This is a coldness to God. You see, the first thing we dealt with is family. The second thing was the heart. God says a lot about the heart. God's interested in the heart. God doesn't see as man sees. We look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You know, I used to be chaplain of the Denver Broncos. Did you ever notice the Broncos playing or whatever your team is, Chicago, whatever it is? Every player has on the same uniform. Did you ever notice that? You say, well, of course they do. You know why they do that? So the quarterback will know who to throw the ball to. If you just put a different uniform on everybody, or they put some of the other people's uniforms on, he'll know who to throw it to. He won't know who's his friend. He won't know who's guarding him. He won't know who's going to help him out when he decides to keep the ball and run. No, they dress alike for uniformity. They dress alike so that they'll pull together. Let me say to you tonight, God said, the coldness of your heart is, I'm looking at your heart. What's your heart like? I see what you're outside like. Everybody else can see what you're outside like. And you say, well, preacher, if God's looking at your heart, well, why do you preach so much on the outside? That's all I can see. That's all I can see. That's all anybody else can see. That's why Paul said to Titus in chapter 3, Titus, every time you stand up to preach, tell them to maintain good works. Maintain good works. Maintain good works. What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Why? That's all man can see. That's why in your Bible, in the book of Romans, Abraham is justified by faith. Before who? God. Why? Because God can see faith. In chapter 2 of the book of James, it says Abraham is justified by works. Who in front of? Man. Why? That's all man can see. James said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You can tell me, I believe, I believe, I believe. James said, if you see somebody hungry, somebody naked, somebody cold, and all you say is, God bless you, you haven't done anything. God bless you, don't keep you warm. God bless you, don't fill your stomach. I tell these young preachers, you go to the hospital, see somebody's got cancer, don't say, God bless you. You get in bed and let them say that to you, dying with cancer. Huh? Why don't you give them some scripture, something they can hang on to, something they can live with. God said coldness toward me will get coldness towards you. Look at Proverbs 21, please. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs in chapter 21. And the Bible says there in verse 13. Proverbs 21 and verse 13. And the scripture says, whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You better be real careful how you treat poor people. You know these people who stand on the street corners, and you stop at the red light and there's some guy there with a sign. You know, I like one guy's sign. He said, I ain't sick, I ain't dead, just give me some money. You know, he was at least honest about it. Miss Williams and I always roll down the window, put a dollar bill, $2 bill, a $5 bill inside the track and give it to him. You say, Brother Williams, he may be a phony. He may be. But I just did what I should have done. What he does, he'll answer to God for. You see, the Bible says, give to every man that asketh thee. Huh? Do you know that's in the Bible? In fact, he says, give to them, expecting it not again. He said, somebody wants to borrow some money from him, loan it to him, and don't even expect it back. Did you know that the Bible says, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to God. He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to God. God will be a debtor to nobody, folks. God somehow, somewhere will bring it back to you. In a greater way. In a greater way, I promise you. Oh, tonight. That we'd understand that God says hardness to others. Hardness to others. Turn a deaf ear to others. You know, Ms. Williams and I have, and we don't have any money. We give it all away in what little we do have. But that's all right. But you know, we've sent prostheses over to Vietnam. One-legged man over there, a missionary, wrote us that goes into those underground churches. And he said, Brother and Sister Williams, he said, we got a man over here with one leg that rides a bicycle 35 miles over these unbelievable roads to come to church every Sunday. Can you imagine riding a bicycle with one leg? 35 miles to get to church over roads that really are not roads. Now, Williams and I said, you know, we believe we can fix that. And we sent the guy a prosthesis for the other side so he'd have two legs riding that bicycle. And we bought a milk cow for a fellow over there that the missionary said, you know, if he had just had a real good milk cow, you know what he could do? He could feed his family and he could sell milk to eight other families and take care of his family financially. God help me to sit in a home over here that's sealed like the Bible said. We live in homes that are sealed. We live in homes that have walls. We live in homes that are warm. We wear clothes. I go to the closet. I can pick out one of 20 suits that Dr. Hiles gave me over the years for preaching at First Baptist. And other people have bought, preachers bought me a suit, several suits when I've been here, and so on over the years. God help me that I can't have some compassion on kids over in Africa and Malawi and people in Vietnam and people somewhere else that don't have anything thing to wear. I went to Romania, I don't know how many times. I took cases and cases and cases of clothes over there because the first time I went, I walked into an orphanage of 200 and something kid boys, 9 to 11 years old, and I walked into their little place where they sleep, had a little bitty army cot, and underneath was a shoebox. And I said to one little guy, "What is that, son?" He said, "Sir, that's everything I owe." I'm going to tell you something, folks. To whom much is given, much is required. And America has been given so much. So much. God help us tonight. Don't you turn a deaf ear to the poor. You will stop your prayer line to heaven. You will stop your prayer line to heaven. And God warns us of that. And then notice Proverbs chapter 28, would you please? Proverbs in chapter 28 in your Bible tonight. And verse 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. His prayer shall be abomination. God said, you're just committing abomination when you pray if you turn a deaf ear to my word. To my word. Folks, look, when you hear the word of God, James said, don't just hear it, do it. Do the Word of God. Do the Word of God. I tell you, if you were to start tonight in the book of Genesis, and you would go and read down through the Bible, and every time you came to it, just underline it. Do it, 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 do it. It would blow your mind. Do you know the hardest thing? I've been an evangelist 50 years. And do you know the hardest thing to get God's people to do is to do. Is to do. Biggest crowd. This is a tremendous Sunday night crowd, by the way. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. But you know, look, the biggest crowd Sunday morning, next biggest crowd Sunday night, next biggest crowd Wednesday night, the next biggest crowd is visitation. The closer you get to actually doing what God said, the crowd drops off. Yeah. What? Can you know what would happen if 200 people showed up for visitation every week? Huh? Where are you? Where are you? Oh, you say, Brother Williams, I'm old. Me too. You know, people, my son, I'm 75, and my son who's 55 was talking to me a while back, and he said, Dad, he said, I was talking to this old man the other day, he said, I bet he's 75 years old. I said, what? What? Tim, I'm 75. Don't you be calling me an old man. You know? Look. Hey, watch this. Watch this. Woo-hoo! Huh? You know? You know, I did 115 push-ups this morning. That's more than you can do.
Yes.
Huh?
Well.
Now, hey, I tell you, your grandkids come to town, you'll go to town with them. You'll walk till the blisters all get all your feet. You'll even go down to Disneyland and say, I'm really liking this, kids. You're dying. You know, just do it. Just do what God wants you to do. You may not can do what you used to do, but bless God, you can do something. You can do something. And we just need to do it. God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so tonight, God said you'll hinder your prayers if you're unteachable. You know what they call Al Capone and all those fellows back in the 20s and 30s? They called them the untouchables. Tonight we live with the unteachables. Get your ears open to God. You know, the radio wants your ear. The computer wants your ear. The TV wants your ear. Everybody wants your ear. Give it to God. Give it to God. In Psalm 78, he said, incline thine ear. Incline thine ear unto me. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means you take and put your ear on God's lips. God said, I don't want you to miss a word. I don't want you to miss a word of what I'm saying. You see, when I preach and I can't think of anything, I say, God doesn't have any uhs. He said, every word of God is pure. Proverbs chapter 30. Every word of God is pure. Get every word, young people. Get every word, mom and dad. You kids in college over there, you better pick up every word of God that you can get. You're going to need it. You're going to need every word. You're in the Christian school over here, get every word you can get of God because you're going to need it. And he said, if you turn a deaf ear to my word, I'll turn a deaf ear to you. Look at Isaiah 1:15 quickly. Isaiah 1, and I only have 93 of these, so sit tight, okay? Isaiah. No, I'll get you out on time because I love nursery workers. I wouldn't want to keep your kids, and they probably don't either, so we'll rescue them, all right? Isaiah chapter 1, and look, please, at verse 15. Isaiah 1:15, and when you spread forth your hands, of course, Baptists don't do this anymore. See, yeah, some folks scared us off of that. Did you know 16 times in your Bible, I said in your Bible, it says lift up holy hands to God? Are you going to do what the Bible says or what somebody told you? Huh? Solomon lifted up his hands. David lifted up his hands. Isaiah lifted up his hands. Jesus lifted up his hands. Yeah, Brother Williams. We ain't going to have you back anymore. That's why I'm giving you everything I know tonight. Amen. God said, look, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Did you know in the book of Ezekiel, God says twice in the same book, He says, if I tell you to warn the wicked and you don't warn them, I'll require their blood at your hands. You say, oh, preacher, that's Old Testament. Go to the book of Acts. Paul was down in Ephesus and Paul said, 3 years, day and night, I've gone house to house warning you. So therefore I'm free from the blood of all men in Ephesus. Right. He must have thought it was for New Testament times to say that he was free from their blood. I ask you tonight, God tells you to warn that wicked person at the gas station. God tells you to warn that wicked person down there where you're using the computer or down at the restaurant or on the airplane or somewhere else and you don't warn them. God said, I'll require their blood at your hands. I want you to understand tonight, folks, some of us are bloody handed. We have not warned the wicked to flee from the wrath of God. most powerful message that Jonathan Edwards ever preached was sinners in the hands of an angry God. Oh, may God help us to warn people. You see, there is a hell. It ain't a curse word. It's a place. It's a place. And God help us tonight. Most independent Baptist preachers don't preach on hell once a year even. We've quit. But hell hasn't quit. Hell is still there. And it's still real. And people are going to hell. And we need to warn them, God said. And then look at Isaiah 59 quickly, please. Isaiah and chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. God said a mouth problem will keep me from hearing your prayers. I talked to you about that some this morning, about gossip and about criticism and about talking about others talking about God's people and with the same mouth that we praise God with, we curse our brother with. And God said that we have iniquity and our mouth has spoken perverseness and lies, and we need to come to God tonight. And John said, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. We need to come regularly with our confession of our sins, whether they be by thought or whether they be by deed, or whether it's some, you know, let me warn you tonight, dearly beloved, that God remembers your thoughts after you've already forgotten them. You better think on that. God remembers your thoughts long after you have forgotten them. And this evening God said that'll keep you from getting your prayers answered. I wish I had time to just keep going and going through the list. Let me just say to you, dear friend, there's just verse after verse after verse after verse that God tells you why He won't hear your prayers. We think everybody saved can pray. I wish that were true. There are few people that can pray and get the attention of the God of the universe. Few people. You tell me how many Christians you know tonight that can get down on their knees and pray and get up and say, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Brother Joe Vasek is a preacher on the East Coast. He got infected. His foot stepped on something, got infected. He kind of just let it go, didn't think it was too much. And then he got gangrene, and it looked like he was going to lose his life and certainly going to lose his leg. And his wife called, and she said, would you and Ms. Williams go to prayer? Would you go to prayer? They're operating on Brother Joe tonight. And he may lose his leg. He could lose his foot, lose his leg, lose his life. And Miss Williams and I went to prayer. Now, I don't remember how long we prayed, quite a long time. And then we looked at each other and we said, Brother Joe ain't going to lose his leg. Brother Joe's not going to die. He may lose a little bit of his foot, but he's not even going to lose his whole foot. And so we called and told Miss Vasek that. And she went and told Brother Joe, and just this week, that was last year, and just this week we had lunch with him there in Connecticut. And Brother Joe said, he said, you'll never understand the comfort that came that night when you said, and Miss Williams said, you're not going to lose it, Brother Joe. Just rely on God. You're not going to use it. Look, I'm not bragging on my wife and I. God knows, you know, we're just servants of the Lord saved by grace. I'm just telling you, my friend, look, I've been around a while, and I know few people who can get up off their knees and say, God is going to do it. God's going to do it. It's going to be done. You know, that breaks His heart. You know why? We get down and pray and get up with no more confidence that it's going to be done than it did before we ever went down. Do you understand tonight, beloved? God is trustable. And he keeps saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. You know, if I needed $1 million and I was talking to Donald Trump, I would believe I would be talking to somebody that could perform that. What do we believe when we're talking to the God of heaven? He said, there's nothing you can ask me I can't do. Nothing. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Oh, tonight, that you would lay hold of the fact that your prayers don't get answered because of things in our lives. Oh, may the Lord help us to be willing tonight just to come and get the thing out of our life that's hindering us. That's hindering us. I beg you, put down your pride. I said to the men back in the prayer room tonight, God showed me something last week. You know, pride made an archangel the devil. Think of that. Pride took the king of the known world, Nebuchadnezzar, and made him a beast. And pride has caused America to be turned into hell. God said in Psalm 9:17, the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. We have prospered so much, that we haven't needed the God that prospered us. Oh, heaven help us. Heaven help us tonight to come to God and get the things out that keep our prayers from being answered. I don't know what it is in your life, but I'm going to tell you, whatever it is not worth it. It is not worth it. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, this evening, thank you for the service. Thank you for the music we've heard. Thank you for your eternal word. Oh, tonight, that you would speak to people's hearts. They'd put down their pride and just come tonight. Just come all over the building. The front would be jammed. The aisles would be crowded. If we just get honest with you, dear God, tonight. Help us to get pride out of our heart. And just come on and eliminate these things that stop our prayers. In Jesus' blessed name and for His sake.